There follows the consummation of the grand passion of the young people, a sexual coupling in a pear tree, about as uncharming as that in January's bed. And when the old husband finally realizes what is going on, fresh May has a fresh answer ready. She can write a quick letter, turn a fast trick, return a smart answer. May's partner, Damien, is perhaps a reincarnation of January as he was 40 years before, who followed aye his bodily delight on women there as was his appetite. January's garden, where the love scene of the young people takes place, is specifically related to the most famous of all romantic medieval gardens, the garden in the great French poem The Romance of the Rose, which relates the efforts of the lover to pluck the rose in spite of all obstacles. After much effort, he does get the rose. With very little effort, Damien gets the fruit of the pear tree in January's garden. There are also strong echoes of the Garden of Eden with the serpent in the tree, and echoes of the Hortus Conclusus, the enclosed garden in the biblical Song of Songs. This had been used by Bible commentators as an image for the Virgin Mary, the heavenly queen whose name May impiously invokes for help in her unmaidenly business. Her prayer is answered instead by Proserpina, the queen of hell, who gives her the gift of the forked tongue of the serpent. This complex mixing of images and allusions paints an unsentimental picture of the workings of lust, the basic human desire that subtends romantic love, and that sometimes subverts good sense and marital fidelity. Lust, that indispensable part of our human loving, is here shown without its saving consort, love, and barely covered by the tattered rags of romantic convention. Priapus, god of gardens and sex, is worshipped in the Garden of January. But then he was worshipped in the Garden of the Romance of the Rose, too. And, if some biblical commentators were right, in the Garden of Eden, where they thought that that was the original sin. January and May, like and unlike Adam and Eve, after contact with the king of the underworld, hand in hand with wandering steps and slow, through Eden took their solitary way. Here follows the Merchant's prologue and tale, narrated by Patrick Tull.